Welcome, everyone. This is Andrea Conway of SuccessfulSelfEmployment.com. I'm so glad you could join our call today, Feng Shui, Your Office for Prosperity, with Judith Wendell. And I know Judith is on the line, so I'll just explain a bit about how our class works, and then we'll get going. After some introductions, I'll be asking Judith questions about the topic today, and then around 10 minutes before the hour is up, I'll open the phone lines so you can ask questions live. Depending on how many questions we have, we may go to about 15 minutes after the hour. Now, if you're listening over the Internet, you can type your question in any time, and I will read it to Judith when we get to the question period. Then sometime in the next day or two, we will send out an MP3 recording of the class, along with a recap of Judith's amazing offer for everyone on the call. Plus, she's prepared an 8-point Feng Shui Your Office for Prosperity checklist, and we'll get that out to you as well. We have many people on the call today. We had close to 300 people who registered, which is really awesome, and a lot of you either don't know me or don't know Judith, so introductions are in order. I'm Andrea Conway. I'm a Law of Attraction marketing coach. If you've ever heard of or watched the DVD, The Secret, I've been studying and applying the ideas in The Secret for more than 2 decades. And as a coach, I help solopreneurs and small business owners apply those ideas to their marketing. This is a lot more fun and way more rewarding on all levels than the 21 years I spent in corporate marketing, both as a marketing manager and a Fortune 500 company, and later as a marketing consultant to technology firms. Now, I started my newsletter, Successful Self-Employment in Any Economy, and I do mean any, because I had a sense, this was around the end of 2001, beginning of 2002, that some turbulent economic times might be coming. And I also felt that more people would look for their financial independence to self-employment instead of to traditional jobs that were rapidly disappearing. And my mission is to help them face and overturn the worry, fear, and self-doubt that does come up when you start your own business. And I help business owners connect with their spiritual center, remain faithful to their business dream, and manifest magnificent success on their terms. Now, about my guest, Judith Wendell. Judith and I met several years ago through a mutual friend in Manhattan, Barb, who might be on the call today. So, hi, Barb. And because Judith and I had a shared interest in spirituality, we stayed in touch. This past summer, I asked Judith to help me with a phone feng shui consultation on my home office in Denver. Well, imagine my surprise when my income went up 20% that month and has stayed up there. So you will find out today, you have a chance to find out what feng shui can do for your office, whether it's an office inside your home, as mine was, or outside your home, to give you every advantage in attracting prosperity. So, Judith, welcome.
Thank you very, very much. I'm really looking forward to this and giving as much information, you know, jamming in as much as I possibly can, recognizing that there are people at all levels, some very familiar with feng shui and some not at all, and all of it is fine.
Okay, well, that's good. Yes, everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. So, Judith, let's start with a question about your background for the folks on the call who don't know you. When I met you, as I recall, you had recently concluded a successful career, a really successful career as a jewelry designer, and you were pursuing studies of Eastern spirituality. So tell us how you ended up as a feng shui consultant.
Right. Well, I was making 6 figures as a marketing consultant and also product development in fashion jewelry, and that's pretty much my background. But I always have had a great interest in interior design and architecture, just didn't, you know, formally pursue it. It was specifically a trip to Bali with a Buddhist priest, a woman named Joan Halifax, because I have been involved in Eastern studies, self-healing, and spirituality for a couple of decades. That trip just set something else in motion. And when I came back, looking in a couple of different directions, found the first professional training program in New York for feng shui. It was a 3-year modular program. And, you know, I had heard at the time that sort of feng shui finds you, and it was just like pick me up and grab me, because it wasn't in any way, shape, or form something I was looking for, or even that familiar with. But I just got right involved in it, even though it was a big commitment of time and money. So that I completed that program in 99, and really been doing it since I completed. I quit my job, and it wasn't easy. Still has many challenges, but I knew I needed to pursue exactly what I meant to do. So that's
yeah. I know what that. Yeah, and I know what that feels like. That knowing that you have to pursue what you're meant to do. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you decided to do that.
Thank you. And sort of to bring us up to the very, very moment, something exciting that's happening tomorrow is that Barbara Corcoran, who's a very big realtor here in the New York metropolitan area and maybe even internationally, is doing a segment on NBC Today Show, which will view pretty much show on Monday, I think, nationwide. And she's invited me to come on and do some feng shui as part of this segment of selling apartments in difficult times. So I've had a lot of really good fortune with press and all that kind of thing. So it's been a couple of years. It's 10 years now. But it goes fast. It goes really fast.
Yeah. Now, that's on NBC Today. Is that tomorrow, you said?
Monday morning.
So
I'm filming it tomorrow,
So we can tune in and watch you.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's so exciting. Okay.
Can you go watch my show? Anyway. All right. Let's get down to feng shui information.
Yeah. Okay. Well, give us the overview. Why does it work?
Okay. Well, you know, feng shui was never about moving furniture. That's sort of a modern interpretation, if you will. It was about noticing nature and how nature works and then living in harmony with nature. So, of course, now we're trying to get back to that because the planet is very out of balance. And so we are trying to bring balance into our own individual environments that we have a bigger impact in. We all want to make an influence on the larger environment, too, of course. But noticing how nature works in balance, and I'm going to talk about the elements and how they translate to our environment, which then, you know, translates further into furnishings, is why it works. All species innately know that their survival is contingent on providing an environment that protects them against their natural enemies. And although we may not seem like we have natural enemies, except maybe enemies of ourselves, if you will, we do find ourselves in environments that maybe are not that balanced in supporting us, our relationships, our finances, etc. So with looking through a particular template, a feng shui consultant, as myself, can see what might be out of balance. So, in other words, this is exactly what's happening in nature. So,
Yeah, very interesting. I didn't realize about the nature connection. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and also, you know, all people's feng shui is a term that means wind and water, and, of course, no living thing can survive without healthy water, healthy air. Those are, I mean, absolute basics. So it is shorthand for a healthy environment. But through ancient times, and not just in a Chinese culture, but in Western culture and in Mayan culture and Egyptian culture, putting buildings in prominent places of energy was, you know, how they, you know, certainly churches, cathedrals, temples, the Mayan temples were all, there was dowsing done so that they were really in alignment. Now, we might not be able to choose exactly where our homes are going to be, but we can still get them internally aligned so that they support us.
Okay. And that makes a lot of sense. So the term qi that you hear a lot in feng shui, is that essentially life energy?
It means life energy, breath, or life force. And it's really qi that gives mountains their shape and rivers their direction and plants their color. It's this unifying principle that links everything together. So, and then from qi comes the yin and the yang, or the male and the female, the dark and the light, complementary opposites that, again, further divide to form the four seasons and the four directions. And this translation of energy or nature that we use to, you know, organize our environment.
You know, it sounds, it gives me a peaceful feeling just hearing you, because I think that modern life, it's so challenging to get back into that sense of being a natural creation, not just some big mind, a big mind and body, but to actually have a bigger connection. That's great.
Exactly, not just doing machines.
Yeah.
So this moderation of chi flow and can really help with employee relations, with relations with ourselves, with the flow of, bringing in the kind of prosperity that we want in our life. It's really just moderating it. So we're going to talk about that. Now, you told everybody so wonderfully to download the Bagua, the Feng Shui map.
Right.
Correct? So I hope everybody has it available to them, because that's will give us, in this limited way, some visual to relate to. So shall I start with that?
Yes, I think that would be great. Let's just maybe tell people who are online and didn't get it. It's at www.sacredcurrents.com/, I think it was Bagua.
Judith 1.
Well, this is where your Bagua diagram is on your site.
Okay.
Was it just bagua.jpg? I'm going to check that out while you start talking to us about the Bagua. And when I find the URL, I'll come back.
Okay, great. So, first of all, just very quickly, without spending too much time, there are more than one school of feng shui. There's actually dozens and dozens. But the two main philosophies break out this way. One organizes the Bagua, the template, the feng shui map, if you will, from your front door, or what's referred to as the mouth of qi, where energy enters your environment. The other one uses cardinal directions. They're the same Bagua, but they're organized differently on your floor plan. So for simplicity, we're going to use the one that organizes the Bagua from the mouth of qi, so from your front door. So if you can visualize that you're standing in your front door, or it could be the front door to your office, or it can be the front door to your bedroom. It's just because there's both a macro and a microcosm. So if we're doing your whole apartment, it's the front door there, your office, the front door. And you're looking in, and you're holding this card or Bagua in front of you. So immediately
now,
in front of, yes?
I just wanted to say, in case people don't have it, I have the URL in case they're online and they just want to
grab it
and follow. So it's www.sacredcurrents, all one word, .com/, and then it's Bagua, which is Bagua.jpg. So Bagua.jpg. All right, so I'm looking at mine, and I like the mouth of qi. I like standing at the mouth of qi. Okay.
So unfortunately, since you're the only person I can hear, Angie, you tell me if what I'm saying is not perfectly clear, so everybody gets it. Okay? So I'm holding my Bagua right in front of me, and in the center it says career, path, and life. And to the left, it's knowledge, self-cultivation, and to the right, benefactors and travel. So I have asked everybody to imagine that they're standing in the doorway of their office or their front door, and this card is in front of them. And in that way, you can basically see that in the far left-hand corner is what's considered wealth, and in the far right-hand corner is relationship. Now, when I work with my clients, I try to be emphatic about the fact that each one of these segments have about 50 associations, so I hate reducing it to one or two words, but for shorthand for now, just so we can get the most, I will, because obviously we can't get into all 50 associations of each area, but I'm going to give you some real good keywords so you have a better understanding of what these areas are. But nonetheless, if you took your office or you took your whole apartment or house or whatever the case is and divided it into 9 squares this way, you'd have a pretty good sense where all these areas fall. Now, I understand that some places have a notch out and some places have an extended area, and basically what they mean, a notch out means it's, quote, missing. It means an adjustment. And when it's extended in some way, it means it's an addition or an enhancement. Okay. So you'll see that the colors aren't necessarily the colors that I recommend anybody paint, but they do represent the elements. So let's start at the bottom with the water element, okay? And water is a path in life, which I think is a broader term than simply career. It's associated with deep wisdom. It is the north direction. And the geometric that goes with career is meandering, or water is meandering. This is often why somebody may suggest putting a fountain in the front, at the front door, because it's a water element. But again, I think that's a little too generic, if you will. And that might not always be the best approach for every environment. But it is the water element, and water could be depicted, in brief, as a pattern in a rug, let's say, that's meandering, or perhaps a picture of a water. But the deeper meanings of water, and since water is very changeable, of course, it could be still, it could be moving, it could be frozen, it could be steam, but basically the chi of water, if you will, when it's still, is to have intellectual capacity, have balance in your business, have cognitive abilities. And when it's out of balance, it's stagnant, or your thinking is narrow and your decision-making is small. So it's important to have that area of your office in balance, obviously. And when it's moving, it's more involved with cash flow and business and social connections and new opportunities and career advancement. So, but it can't be too quick by the same token, because then it sort of slips through your fingers. It's like maybe you have a lot of money coming in, but you can't hold on to it. So we have to look at an environment and see that the water element is active and yet not stagnant and not moving too quickly. All right? So there's just one water element in the Bagua. And so now I'd like you to go to the green area, and that's new beginnings, which is very important with business, bringing in new energy, new clients, whatever the case is. It's also, you could see, associated with family. That might be your business family as well as personal family. Is this all this clear so far, Andrea?
Yes, it is.
Yeah? Okay,
I'm hanging
great.
On every word. It's great.
Great. So what I may not have mentioned is that the career is the winter area, while now the wood element, which is not just associated with the green area, but it's also the purple area, is springtime. The green is sort of early spring, and the purple area is what's associated with late spring. And if you notice that I skipped over knowledge or the teal area, we're going to get back to that. But you could see we're going from winter into spring. And so the wood element is expansive, all right? It's this new beginnings. It's this potency of spring where things are coming up through the ground and they're really going to start to take off. So, you know, we need this energy all the time in our business. There always has to be a new beginning. Otherwise, it will soon run out. The other important thing about the wood element in terms of business is that it's associated with human-heartedness. And as, you know, I sense from Andrea that everybody on the phone call has, you know, not maybe everybody, but most of us are you know, want to bring that into our businesses and recognize the importance of that, that it's not just business, but it's having a human connection in the most full-hearted way, and that's what makes our businesses satisfying. So, you know, when the wood element is balanced in a business, it means that projects can flow with ease, there's new incentives, and decision-making is strong. But if it's out of balance, it could either be, you know, stubborn thinking, limited thinking that way, like an old oak tree, or maybe it's just too willy-nilly, like a fern, just blowing in the wind and not really able to maximize moving forward. So again, this is, you know, so important. And you might just look around your environment now and say, okay, what's in the far left-hand corner if I was standing in the doorway, maybe somewhere in the middle of the room on the left-hand side? That would be new beginnings. And then in the back left-hand corner is wealth. Right. And so water, but the elements work in a synergistic way. So water feeds wood, and from wood, it becomes fuel for the next element, which is fire. And fire is very important because it's all about our recognition. And it's in the located in the middle section in the back of the room. And how we're seen in the world, it's associated with the eyes. So how we're thought of, all very important, because obviously to have a powerful career, we have to have a very high level of recognition. It's a summer month, so and it's also about courtesy and propriety, doing things in a very refined kind of way. You know, if the fire element is imbalanced in your environment, in your office, in your business, it means you're highly thought of, and you know, fire. Unfortunately, we just heard about all these fires in California. They travel very quickly, and so does word of mouth. I mean, if your reputation isn't good, well, you can't control it. You know, that's quite difficult. But by the same token, if you have a very good reputation, that is going to start traveling very quickly as well. So if fire is too prevalent, perhaps there's anger within ourselves or with clients. It's an explosive kind of potential. But if it's too weak, maybe we're not even noticed at all. So again, you know, how does this come into balance? So we're going to talk about, you know, this after we have a little more foundation. So after summer, there's late summer, and we come to the area that's referred to, you'll see the pink area, relationships. Now, relationships and straight down on the diagonal, which is the orange area health and the teal area knowledge, they are all earth elements. So it's the three earth elements. We just covered one water element, two wood elements, one fire element, and then there's three earth elements. And these are considered the mid-seasons. It's like Indian summer at the pink area, and the teal is that time. It's almost like the mud season between the end of winter and spring. So, and then the Tai Chi is that area that not only gives forth all the other areas, but it's health. It's, so in other words, I'll just say right now, if there was only one thing you could do in your office or your home or whatever the case is to have the very centermost be clear so that everything can flow either to it or from it, that it's not a cluttered area, that it's not an area you have to sort of step around. If you have your desk there, that at least that area of the desk is most clear. If I'm not a terribly big fan of crystals, but, you know, if you can only do something in one in that one spot, then I would hang a crystal in the center of that room. And I'm talking about a Swarovski 30-millimeter or 40-millimeter cut glass crystal with the intention that it just emulates out, you know, continually diffusing and clearing the energy of the room. But let me get back to relationships. This, of course, is very important in business because you know, a lot to do with our clients or our employees or our colleagues or whatever the case may be. And it's also associated with credibility and trust. So utmost important in any relationship, and especially a business relationship or your client relationships. The earth element is also associated with sacrifice, and sometimes, you know, especially when we're in our own business, we're giving so much that we self-sacrifice and don't have balance in that area. So it's really important to both not be selfish and also give as much as possible. And this also includes, besides staff or clients, but the public or neighboring businesses and the community, that this whole relationship area reaches out. Because the whole thing with feng shui is that, and to go back to our original question of why it works, is that, you know, we're in our environments, so we're really a reflection of us, and then they reflect back. And from that, you know, maybe the whole street or the whole community and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the things that are closest to us, and starting with our bed, are the things that influence us the most. But, you know, each thing around us has an influence. I mean, out to the nation and the world. Of course, we all know that now. And so it ripples out the other way, too. We're the stone, and anything we do is going to, you know, make a difference out there. So, area of relationship and earth element in all three of those areas. See, the pink area is relationship with others, but the teal area is relationship with ourselves and our self-cultivation, which is so important and necessary to have good relationship with others. How am I doing?
I
thought I'd take a
breath. I love this. I know, I bet you are. And I love the whole idea that, you know, what we do matters and what others, it's like the sense I get listening to you is it's all one creation. It's all one interactive system. We're all part of something, and it influences us, and we influence it.
Yeah. So, when I was getting ready for the call, I would be lying if I denied the fact that I have my messes on my desk as much as anybody else. So I'll just be out with that right now. So I was putting my desk in order, and I was. So I reminded myself of a parable that used to be on my website. It's not anymore about, in brief, there was, ancient community that was having a drought, and they invited in the great rainmaker, and he simply asked for a place to live and some food and water for 5 days and to tell everybody to go about their business. And after the fifth day it rained. You may be familiar with this story. And they were revering him and the great rainmaker. And he basically said he didn't do anything. You know, he came to town and he got himself in order, and when he got himself in order, the town got in order, and when the town got in order, it rained. So I thought, I just have to, get myself in order. And, the phone call will be fine. So some of it is as simple as that. Sometimes my clients say, well, a lot of this is just common sense. Nobody said it was rocket science, and there are very specific principles to follow, so I don't want to diminish it either.
Well, and it may be common sense because on some level, maybe not consciously even, we've incorporated some of these thoughts into our thinking over the centuries.
Exactly. If it's been living with nature and noticing nature, then
I find that a lot that people, nature gives us incredible models for success. Seeds, for example, are totally abundant. There isn't just one seed planted typically to produce a crop. It's multiple seeds. And so we take it for granted, and we think it's somehow irrelevant to our lives, and yet it's incredibly relevant because the same principles apply.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't I just talk about the fifth element, which is metal. And again, I said that water gave birth to wood, and wood is the fuel for fire. And fire, when it burns, creates ash or earth. And then earth gives birth to metal. It comes from the earth. And there are two metal areas. You see the white and the gray. And this is twofold. So the white area is about completion and creativity. This is the children area, but in our work, it's our efforts that are our children and our creativity. And just like across from that is new beginnings. Here is completion of projects, seeing things come to fruition. Closing the deal, whatever the case is, completing the project that we're working on, out of which comes joy. As we all know, when we don't finish stuff, it's hanging over our head. So this is the harvest time. This is the fall season. This is the season we're just completing now in real time. And, the harvest, the cornucopia. So that's where we wanna be. And so this is a very important area as well, with clients. And then below it is benefactors, travel. It's the head on the body. So it's really moving out, very much moving out. And it has to do with like a good, sense of righteousness, doing the right thing. And, you know, in a business, of course, being ethical, having standards, this is all incredibly important. Benefactors are there for us in our businesses. We want to have them when we need them. That, like today when I was getting prepared for this filming tomorrow for NBC, you know, I had to call a whole bunch of people to find somebody to work with. So, you know, I felt very abundant in that way. I felt there were, I had a lot of benefactors because I can call on them. You know, do we have people that we can call on when we need favors, whether they're business or personal or, so this is important in that way. And, you know, completing, as I said, projects on time is very important. And, it, you know, when this area is deficient in us, it's like metal. We become withdrawn and, you know, no business can afford to sort of implode on itself. You know, it's quite the opposite. We need to, you know, expand. But like nature, there is a winter. You know, there is that spring. There are the seasons. So it is a more contracted time, but it's part of the whole. It's part of the yin and the yang. This happens to be the most yang area. But we could use it to our advantage if we know how. So that's the Bagua in brief and the five elements. And how this translates into design and our work, I could get into talking about. But why don't I, you know, ask if you have a question, Andrea, or is there some question that somebody's written in that applies to what we've talked about so far?
Let me take a quick look. Let's see. You know, okay, so here's a question from Pat about the Bagua. She downloaded the one you have, and she's been using one that's an octagon based on the front door of the room. It sounds like we can use either, or are there any differences?
No, it's the same Bagua. Of course, I made mine into a postcard, so I wasn't going to be able to make an octagon, and not too many people live in octagon rooms. So it's just the difference sometimes is that ba actually means eight in Chinese, and gua means section. So it means eight sections. So there's actually eight sections in the Tai Chi. And sometimes the Tai Chi is depicted just as a point, and other times it's depicted as an actual area. But otherwise, there's no real difference.
Okay.
You know, if I can, I'd like to add some other things just beyond the Bagua. Like, in other words, just other healthy, successful influences for an office. I mean, besides applying this, I mean, something so basic is, especially this time of year when we tend to, you know, keep the windows closed and all of that. Myself living in New York, I feel like I almost always need to have my windows closed because it's really, really dirty and it gets so dirty. But just cracking a window and having some fresh air, even if it isn't, you know, even if it's New York air, is so important to our health to have, again, chi flow, some natural aspect, all right? Light. Now, I know many people work in relatively dark environments. They think they see their screens better or whatever. But light is really energy, and it, literally and figuratively. So, and it has an uplifting effect. So, again, before this call, I made sure that, you know, all my lamps were on because I wanted to feel as uplifted as possible. But I know the feeling. I'm somebody that suffers from, you know, seasonal attitudinal disorder, so I need a lot of light. But we all have that to a certain degree when there's dark, shadowy areas all around us. It has a depressing effect. So it's not that we want to spend a lot of, you know, waste energy on having all our lights on. But certainly you should have enough light around you to raise the energy, if you will.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing is that, you know, computers and cell phones and our mobile phones all, by their very nature, give off a lot of EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies, which are relatively unhealthy. There are different gizmos, and everybody could go online and find different things you could stick on to help mitigate that. But for myself, I use a natural salt lamp, a Himalayan salt lamp, and it's a hunk of salt that has a very small bulb in it, so it's almost like a night light. But it throws off negative ions being the good ones, and it's like going to the beach. And that helps mitigate as well the effect of the EMFs and makes us feel not quite like a day at the beach, but subliminally helping us to stay more negative as opposed to positive. In other words, when we don't open a window and we have a lot of electronics on, the atmosphere just gets too stale, which means it's too positive, and we need to bring in negative ions. So those are a couple of other things. Of course, there's also sounds and taste and smell. All of the five senses make a difference. I do a lot of space clearing and blessing rituals in the work that I do, and cleaning the atmosphere that way makes a big difference. And then there's the all-important positioning, which I'd like to talk about a little bit, command position. Some of this information is going to be in the 8-point checklist that everybody's going to get, but I'd like to mention it as well. Shall I?
Okay. Yes, and I love this Himalayan salt lamp. I can't.
Oh, yeah, just go online. I'm definitely not getting a commission or anything. You just type in Himalayan salt lamp, and there's a whole bunch of places that have them. They're very cool.
Okay. but, yes, talk about position.
Yeah, I mean, we've all pretty much familiar with the fact that you're not supposed to have your back to the door. Well, that is true for the most part. It comes from, again, ancient practices where the best place for somebody, the safest place, you know, when they really needed to be protected was to have their home or their cave or whatever the case was situated halfway or a third of the way down the mountain so they had a solid back behind them, but a full view of the valley and what was coming up towards them. So we want to be in that same position. It's best to be in the back of a room rather than close up to the door. So we have, you know, more time to see what's coming towards us, even if it's a metaphor at this point, to be facing the door but not be directly in line with the door. I mean, these are ideals. If you can't, which is often the case, then perhaps you could have a reflective surface. There was somebody a while ago that was almost making looked like a rear-view mirror, like a car mirror, for the top of the computer screen, so that, you know, you could just glance up and see exactly behind you, which really works out well in cubicles and that kind of situation.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if they're still available, but, you know, some other reflective surface or basically a mirror on the wall, assuming there is one, to see behind you really helps you be in command. If not, or if your back faces a window, then at least have a very solid high back chair. So then it's again, a bit of a metaphor for having a mountain behind you. You're protected. Basically, your back's protected. And, you know, that, again, is common sense. I mean, everybody understands that. I you know, in the ATM machines now, or at some point, they put in those little convex mirrors, right, so you can see behind you. I mean, that's, you know, that, again, common sense, feng shui cure, whatever you want to call it, but you don't want somebody coming up behind you without you noticing it. That's quite, quite important.
So those stylish mesh kind of office chairs then might not be the best choice?
Well, ergonomically they're great, but yeah, they're not as good as the solid. Not as good, but yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you already have one like that, maybe you would put a pillow or a fabric or something to make it a little more solid. Yeah, mm-hmm. I really like working with what you've got. I don't believe that you have to. We can improvise. There are a lot of things to improvise and still have it work. And remembering that also it's always your intention behind it, putting consciousness there as well as the actual thing.
Say, can you say a little bit more about that? I think that is a great point about using our own consciousness.
Yeah. I mean, I talked at the beginning about the two, you know, main schools of feng shui, one using cardinal directions and the other is the mouth of qi. Well, that form, which falls under the BTB or Black Hat sect of Tibetan Buddhist feng shui, is where I got my 3-year training, although I've studied the other forms as well. And that is much more, if you will, spiritually based, but really it comes down to, as you were referring, Andrea, at the beginning, the secret. What is your intention? So that sometimes Professor Lin Yun, who started, brought this lineage here to the West, you know, would say that 2 ounces of something like a crystal could move, you know, mountains. It's really not about the thing as much as your intention. So there's aspects of this form that use an empowerment to, to imbue whatever it is, whether it be the mirror, the high back chair, or something that is more esoteric like a crystal, with a particular intention so that it holds that energy. And yeah, that's very powerful. I mean, in the traditional forms of feng shui, say in Hong Kong, if they think the door is in the wrong position, they literally tear it down and, you know, rebuild the entryway. Well, none of us are in a position to do that. So we have to do things that might mimic a change like that, that maybe doesn't make sense, like a bamboo flute over the door. But we know what the intention is behind it and the symbology behind it. And so we have that to instead. So, our own intentions with that are done very sincerely and focused really accomplish a lot. But they're very particular to each one of the things, so it can't really get into all of it at the moment.
Sure, yeah, I understand that. It's kind of interesting. Sometimes we think that this whole idea of setting our intentions is very, you know, modern, but obviously, it's based on ancient knowledge, so that's pretty exciting. And
we have intentions all the time anyway. We're just not as aware of them, right? And we have rituals all the time, and some of them, like brushing our teeth, we're aware of. But there's a lot of other things that we're not. So this is just putting a little more focus and consciousness on it, so that the things that we are doing are specifically fortifying what we want to accomplish.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we're sending folks out your 8-point checklist, and you actually, I think you just touched on all 8 of them, actually. So,
okay,
yeah, that's true. The glass top table, I don't think you talked about that.
Well, let's surprise them. There we go.
Okay. before... I think you've given us a fabulous overview and background and a way to understand all this, so I really appreciate it. And we have a ton of questions. So before we get into questions, say a little bit about the offer that you have for folks, because it's
I would. But you know what? I really want to just, before I do that, if I may, I want to talk about the fact of, so, you know, we have all these elements, and how does it translate? I'm just going to touch on that.
Okay.
So
the
new beginning
absolutely.
And the wealth would. Okay, what would that look like? Would it be plants? Yeah. With the geometric of wood is rectangular. So maybe it's a bookshelf, which is rectangular in your wealth area, and that could be the symbology for you, and you could intentionalize that to help support your wealth. All right? Fire. Well, it doesn't have to be a candle, and it doesn't have to be something red, but maybe it's something else that's upwardly moving, like a flame, a piece of sculpture, or maybe it's something triangular, and that's going to be in the middle of the back of your office, and that's going to hold the dynamic for improving your reputation. Well, maybe if you have diplomas and awards and things like that, they would be hung in that area because they're about your recognition. And maybe some of them would have a red mat. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I just see right now. I have a fiery sunset photograph that a friend of mine took, and I'm going to move it to the back wall here.
Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
Great. Okay.
Perfect. Perfect.
So
yeah,
wood and fire.
So that's wood and fire, and then all the earth elements. It could be earthenware pots and porcelain. It can be in the relationship area, depending, it can be, relationships always happen in at least, you know, a group of two. So it could be, you know, two stones that are a bigger and smaller stone, or two shells. I mean, it could be something that's of the earth that, symbolizes relationship. Or it could be pictures of, you know, you and your colleagues, or you and your, giving a performance or whatever the case is for your business, that would hold that dimension as well. And in terms of metal, of course, is actual metal objects, but maybe you want to use the color white or the color gray in that particular area. Or maybe computers, actually, and other electronic equipment are considered part of the metal element. So they may be appropriately placed there. And water, we already touched on. We know about the proverbial, you know, fountain, which, as I said, I'm not necessarily that keen on unless it's really, really right for you. But water pictures or undulating patterns or the color blues and black and turquoises. So these are symbologies in these different areas. But the important part, as you had touched on, Andrea, is that they're being put there or empowered there with your intention. And then they would hold, you know, a lot more potency. So, you know, I do hope we get to do a part two because there's so much more, but thank you for giving me that opportunity. I wanted to get, you know, more specifics out. And in terms of, you know, as you said, what I'm offering, since, you know, most of the people on the call are not, you know, I can't go over to their place, which I'd love to, I am offering a couple of things. One is a private hour on the telephone, which I generally charge $180, and that's $120. And we'll go over, you know, ahead of time, I'd get their floor plan, I'd get their birth date, and I'll do a numerology and astrology reading and look at the space. And so it would be a very fruitful hour. And the second thing that I'm offering is a six, maybe something like you do as well, of coaching, where the first hour would be just as I had already spoken, but the additional 5 hours would be so I could keep track of all the changes that are being made and specifically approach one element at a time so we could really go into depth with each one of these. And if, you know, if they were at my $180 price per, you know, hour, it would come out to $1,080. At the new price of $120 an hour, it comes out to $720. But if somebody, if right now for this call, I'm going to do it for $600 for all six hours. And we would space them every other week. So it'd be like a few months time to really, you know, see changes and then adjust, if you will, you know, tweak so that things that are done, you know, see how that, what that produces, and then be able to implement it. And as I said, go into each one of these elements quite in depth.
That's a really super offer because it takes time to make some of the changes that you decide to make. That was my experience. And I found that connecting with you more than once really kept me on track with it. You know, connecting with you for an hour is great.
Uh-huh.
I'll take people, you know, would be wise to take any time with you they can get. But I love that you added the ongoing 5 additional hours because you can really see the full benefit from that. Yeah, that's a terrific offer. And we'll also summarize that when we send out the MP3 for folks who aren't on the call. If people want to take you up on that, what's the best way to do that?
Really to email me, and then I'll email the, you know, more of the details and how to, you could pay through PayPal and all of that. And it's judith@sacredcurrents.com. And, you know, then your first hour or even the 1 hour you do, I spend a lot of time in emails and, you know, sort of preparing, so that is all included as well. And, you know, energy is dynamic. It's constantly changing, so we need to, as well, it's not like you've done the feng shui and it's, like, done forever. Yeah, you can make a lot of changes and they're working for you, but, you know, since it's dynamic, it's really good to keep tracking it and seeing what's happening. And, you know, productivity is very associated with fire, and communications is very associated with metal, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a depth, as I said at the beginning, to all of this that, you know, it's hard to get to unless you're sort of working with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a lot of depth to that. You've gotten that point across really clearly. I know that you're also... I know a lot of folks on the call already subscribe to your newsletter, where you give an amazing wealth of information in your newsletter.
Thank you.
And so some of the folks who don't know you yet will also be receiving your newsletter because they signed up for this call. And I find every issue has something very valuable to kind of add to our knowledge about feng shui and how to apply it. You're very generous with what you give people. in that publication.
Thank you. And it doesn't come out, just FYI for everybody, it doesn't come out on any regular basis. It kind of, you know, there's like five maybe a year, and, you know, every couple of months. You won't be inundated, not to worry.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. Important point.
Well, but when you get it, it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. In these days of information overload, definitely worth pointing out. She just does not send a million emails.
No. All right, let's have the questions.
All right, let's just see. Now, I think, okay, we already answered some of these, which is great, because some of them came in. But some of them came in before we started. There's a question from someone who is sharing her office with her husband. He's in the wealth area, and it's kind of cluttered. She's got wondering if you've got any suggestions for her.
Suggestions for her based on his clutter.
Yeah, but you know, if your wealth area is cluttered with your husband's stuff, any?
Yeah.
I can. Yeah. What? Any thoughts about that?
Well, you know, sometimes I just pointing it out to somebody, they don't realize it, and that you know, there's a dynamic happening here, and that, you know, if in fact that's an issue for them, that, you know, hey, honey, let's try this because, you know, it's really not working for us. But, you know, the important thing also is, like I said, everything we do influences out there. So for her to keep our area as, you know, incredibly clean and clear as it can, that will or could potentially make a difference. Or maybe it's, you know, that her husband would be willing to have her do it. He's just not willing to do it himself. You know, it's tough. I mean, we're really not out to change anybody else. I mean, that's kind of tough. That's, you know. So,
yeah, yeah.
But knowing that, again, I was saying that there's this micro and macrocosm, so maybe we can't keep order in the office in the wealth area, but we can make sure it's very, very orderly elsewhere in the house, in the bedroom, and have that work. Or, you know, you could even apply this Bagua right to your own desk. Right where you're sitting is the career area, and to your left is knowledge and et cetera. To your right is benefactors, and across from you on the desk is recognition. So focus on that. You know, focus on the things that you can do.
So we could make a sub-Bagua for our own area.
Yeah,
on our own
there's
desk.
A macro-Bagua
like
of your whole house, and then, you know, a mini-Bagua of each room, and you could even apply the Bagua to, which I have, and I work with people on their websites. You know, and the dynamic of the energy on your website or even your business card. So it could come down really small, you know, because it's a hologram. All right? There is no such thing as a Bagua. This is just a, you know, this is a map. It's not the territory. It's just a symbol. And when you know how to use the symbol, you could apply it to anything.
You know, that's great. It's a hologram. I love it. And, you know, I want to just add something about that. It's important not to get hung up on how another person is messing up our space. I mean, this applies to all of us, or messing up our goals or messing up our plans, because it's really about our own intentions and our own decisions and our own actions. And so I just want to add that little piece in, if that helps. The person
yeah,
who asked.
Very much so, and I think that, you know, or at least do the piece we can do. It's a, like you say, it's always easy
right.
to focus on, oh, well, that's what we can't do, and there's always something,
right.
and it, but
yeah.
it is easier to say it's out there, right? I mean, I could have said
yeah,
that.
It's always easier when it, yeah, it's always easier when it's that other person,
yeah.
but there's not any power in that, so, all right, I just to clarify, for a couple of people had questions, so, you look at this from Nancy wants to make sure she understands. You look at the room from the starting place of the door to the room rather than the direction, the north,
yes.
east, et cetera. Okay.
Standing in the door frame, looking in, holding the card in front of you. And knowing that in the far left-hand corner as well, far right-hand corner is relationship.
Okay.
Your door may be on the right-hand side of the room or the left-hand side of the room. It may be in benefactor's career or knowledge, but it has to be in one of those three areas.
Okay, right. Gotcha. Okay. I'll take one more over the internet, then I want to switch over to the phone, and then we'll come back to the internet questions. Here's a question from Monique. She says her office has two doors. One enters from the home, and one enters from the exterior entrance, and that's the entrance her clients use. Which door should she use to position the Bagua?
Yeah, definitely the outside, because that's where her business is coming from, the outside. And and that's considered the architectural main door. It's the same thing when I work with somebody in the house. They'll say, oh, I always go in the driveway and the garage. But, no, we organize it from the main architectural door. And in this case, like I said, that's the one to the street. That's the one to where the she is really coming from for her business. Now, she should be careful with the back door because that could kind of leak energy, if you will. And clearly, from where she's sitting, her back's going to be to some door, more than likely. So a simple thing to do is to, I call this my low-tech security system, and to get some little pleasant-sounding thing and put it on the inside door so that even if somebody comes in inadvertently, I mean, even if it's, you know, usually locked, whatever the case is, you're notified immediately. And, again, not taken by surprise.
Okay.
If it gets to be positioned where she could actually see both doors, that's all the better. But, you know, it's not usually the case.
Okay. That's great. I'm going to unmute the lines so we can hear phone callers. If you're in a noisy background, if you would please mute your own phone line, you can do that by pressing the star and then the 6 key on your phone. So here we go. All right, so anybody have a question for Judith?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, go ahead. Who is this?
This is Deanna from New York.
Hi, Deanna.
Hello.
Hi. My question is about the Tai Chi space in the center.
Okay.
Just basically because it's so easy to navigate the exteriors of the Bagua, I have an L-shaped living space that I'm turning also into a workspace. And I actually do body work right now in my living area, which is near the Tai Chi space, although I want to move it into a bedroom, which is more of where the creativity space is. And I'm wondering how to transition that in an easier way or which is more of a power place for that to occur.
Okay, I'm not sure I understand the question. You're asking about the Tai Chi, and that's where your table is now?
It's near it. I can't say it's in New Beginnings and Health. It's kind of in between both.
Well, first of all, if you have an odd shape room, how you figure out where the Tai Chi is that you try to draw diagonals, like from the furthest right hand far to the furthest, you know, like a diagonal across, like do a big crisscross. And somewhere there where they cross in the middle, even if you have an extension L off one way or the other, you'll see where the Tai Chi is.
Right.
But are you saying where's the best place for you to work?
Well, I'm going to transition my work into the a bedroom that's more of a creativity space.
Okay.
Even though right now I'm working in the living area, which is in New Beginnings and Tai Chi space. I'm trying to bring that same energy of the Tai Chi because it's health. Into the creativity space, and I understand certainly there's things I can put and colors and, you know, that type of thing. Because I do work on a body work on a table, it's obvious that the center of the work is going to be done on this table.
Well, remember I said before that each room has its own Bagua, so there's a Tai Chi area of that room as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if the whole environment is balanced, then it's all healthy. It's not like there's health only happening in one area.
Sure.
That's not the point at all. It's, you know, and besides, you know, joy, completion, communication, creativity, childbirth, that's all part of that area that you're talking about. But it's really, you shouldn't get locked into thinking that different things have to happen in different areas. It's really about making the area that you're in the most healthy.
Sure. I'm just thinking of getting advice on things, objects, shapes, colors that could infuse the creativity area like I have in the health area, the Tai Chi space.
Right. Well, you know, without, you know, doing a private consultation for you, which I can't right now without seeing your floor plan and all of that, what health is, I told you that health was the area, the earth element, and it gives birth to metal or creativity. So having things that are earth, you know, earth colors are yellows, terracotta, beiges, browns, oranges. They're the colors of the earth, and that in and of itself is very nurturing.
Sure.
So that would both help with the creativity area and health. Okay?
Thank you.
Well, you know, yeah, that sounds good. And if anybody else has, you know, questions how to translate maybe some of the, you know, the colors, I'll be happy to answer that. So how about another question?
Yeah.
Thank you, Deanna.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, who else has a question for Judith?
This is Kathy. Can you hear me?
Sure,
yeah,
Kathy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I have a question. When you walk in our front door, and you look to your right,
mm-hmm.
we have immediately, there's our garage door.
Uh-huh.
So
the door that goes into the garage.
Correct, yeah. Uh-huh. You don't walk into the garage. So you have to go down a hallway, you have to go, you know, you look to the left and it's big, open and wide, and you go, and you look down the hallway and, you know, there's lots of windows, but to the right, and you know, as I look at this drawing, it's sort of like, wow, travel, beneficial travel, and a lot of creativity is just blocked by this long wall.
So let me ask you a question. When you walk in your door, mm-hmm. it opens to the left, and you're walking in sort of towards the right of this blank wall and door to the garage?
I'm sorry. No, when you look to the right, so the door opens.
Let me just clarify something. Are you talking about walking in your front door, or are you walking
Correct.
In your... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about the house now, not
yeah,
my office.
I got it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you walk in the door, and I guess the door opens to the right, but the wall is on the right.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well,
so the garage.
Well, again, without being able to, you know, see a floor plan or whatever, here's the thing that hits me, is that I don't know if you're able to put a good-sized mirror on that wall, but that
mm-hmm.
would give the, you know, you don't want to walk into, you know, a blank and a big and a long, because especially a wall that feels limiting in some way. Very often in the apartments in New York, I'll see that people walk into, it's almost like they walk into a wall. And that is a metaphor for blockage and walking into a wall in your life. So you want to give as big a perspective as you possibly can, and the best way to do that is with a mirror, because it reflects, you know, light and space. Another way, if you don't like that idea, is to have some artwork that it is a perspective. So it's like you're looking down a road. And but you do, I don't know what your situation is, but I will make a comment to everybody that long hallways are also problematic for a variety of reasons. You know, they tend to make the chi just fly down too quickly and maybe not nurture all of the room. So they need adjustments sometimes with different things that could help the energy to slow down. Crystals are used in that way. It could be carpeting. It could be artwork. And certainly if a long hallway or the front door is then facing a window in the far end of a room or hall, again, it could go out too quickly, and you have to cultivate it to stay in the house or the room so it can nurture all of these areas we've just been talking about. All right, does that help?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
Let's
yes,
do one
very
more.
Much.
Let's take one more phone caller and then go back to the internet for a bit. Anyone else have a question for Judith?
Jump in.
Yeah, jump in.
Jump in. Okay.
All right.
Let's go back to the internet.
I have one more question.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying that, well, I'm sure there's, you know, there's a whole study, but so that you sort of, like, nurture these different areas within your office and your home, and you would recommend further study and or coaching on what those are.
What I said at the beginning was that this is a model for nature,
right?
And so when we get this balance in our environment, it naturally helps promote these different areas in our life.
Okay.
And to really look deeply, as I also mentioned, there was about 50 associations, everything from, emotional states and psychological states and body parts and, you know, things that have to do with our business and all of that, family relationships, each one of those little lines that you see, there's solid lines and broken lines, yang lines. As a result, those trigrams or three lines symbolize a family. Let's say if you look at wealth, it has a broken line and then two solid lines. That means the youngest daughter. So, you know, that might have different symbology for different people. It might be the actual family member, but it might be something else to do with, you know, something in business. So, yeah, not to sound, you know, complicated or mystical, it's just there's a lot.
Right.
To it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy. I have a question from over the internet from Martha. She's got a gallery of art. Sounds like her art that she's created, and she's looking for tips on receiving more abundance. And I'm wondering, Judith, if there are any tried and true abundance cures for areas, or is that just totally oversimplifying things?
Well, yeah, because it is this depend on the environment. I mean, she says it's a gallery. I mean, it'd kind of be interesting to, and, you know, of course, what's the art? That's the whole thing, too. I mean, there may be a way of displaying the art, different images in different places that could help. But, you know, that aside, you know, tried and true things are things like I have, already mentioned that the environment has a flow to it, a healthy flow, and that might be airflow with things not being too chaotic. There are transcendental cures like what's something called barring the chi of other environments. And it's basically what it comes down to is, you know, things that we know, like marketing, like the more, like you were saying at the beginning, the more seeds we plant, the more crop we're going to have. So, but these are in a more transcendental way, but there isn't, you know, I'd like to say that, I like to gear it towards my clients, so it's really effective. I really just have a hard time with things that I consider somewhat generic, because that's why people associate fountains with money,
yeah.
And that may work for some people. I'm not saying it doesn't, but, I don't know about tried and true. Boy, I would really like to know that myself. Then we could just sort of print that out, and we would be in good shape.
I know. That's so true. So it's really the whole, you really look at the whole environment. Suppose when we read books on feng shui, are we also getting a lot of generic information?
Unfortunately, it's a lot of good information, but it's, my experience is that people have a hard time applying it to their particular environment, or they don't know what parts of it most apply to them, because some people might be highly motivated, but you know, they might have stuff going on with their recognition, or this woman might do fantastic artwork, and yet somehow she's just not known. So it'd give her, more of a cure to do with fire. Or sometimes, people just have a great, great product, but their growth is very slow. So that might be more to do with a wood cure that would have to do with quicker growth. you know, but it's, and then it's never just one thing. Just as I described, the elements and nature is all interconnected. You know, it's more interconnected. So it has different pieces to it. Unfortunately. But, you know, the basic things like having no clutter and things on the ground, the more things you have on the floor, the more things get stuck. You know, I very often go to somebody's place and they have like a zillion things on a bulletin board and we all have these little favorite images, and all of a sudden before we know it, a couple of years have gone by and there's like a zillion things on there that we're just used to looking at, and in fact they're really just this sort of clutter.
So I
was at somebody's house yesterday, and I just asked them to put their three favorite things on the fridge. They went, yeah, you know, it just sort of accumulated. And it's even though you think, oh, I like that, but, you know, when it's all off the fridge, it's like you could take a deep breath. And something new could show up, you know? So, you know, that would be my version of, you know, something tried and true. Just make space. The more space you make, the more things could come in.
Okay, good. Couple more questions have come in. Just reinforce the use of the Bagua. Karen is asking, do we view it from the bottom looking into the room, or I guess the chart has east-west, has some directions on it, and that's
those are the traditional directions, but you ignore them in terms using a compass. We're not using a compass. We're just standing with the chart in front of us, looking into a room.
Okay. So it's as if you would lay the Bagua down on the floor in front of you at the front door, kind of
thing.
And
you're standing either, your front door is either knowledge, career, or benefactors.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope that helps folks who have the questions about the directions. Here's a question from Tom. What about garages or outside gathering spaces like decks? Are those included in the map, the Bagua map?
Right. If it has a roof, yes. If it's attached, yes. If it's a garage that's unattached, no. If it's a deck without a roof, no.
Okay.
Yeah. Separate units on a property get handled different ways. And, you know, a deck we could use as somewhat of an enhancement, perhaps, but it's not really part of the Bagua unless it's really attached to the roof line.
Okay. I'm going to just mute out the background because there's some noise back there. Hang on a second.
Okay. So we're going to stay on another 5 minutes or so? Yeah?
We only have a couple of minutes and we have a lot more questions.
Oh,
so,
okay. I personally could stay on until 7:30. All right?
All right, let's keep going then, see if we can get some more of these questions answered. So let me just get clear on something. So when our space is, whether it's a room or a house, if it has an irregular shape, it's still all incorporated in the Bagua.
Well, this is where it gets a little complicated. If we do another call at some point, I could illustrate this, and again, people could access it through the internet. But if an area is what's considered less than half, in other words, it's like a little finger coming off of it, it's considered an extension. And if it's got a bite out of it, like a sort of a missing tooth somewhere, that's considered a missing area. And it makes sense that extensions or enhancements and missing areas need to be fixed, because then it means maybe some of your wealth is missing, or benefactors, or whatever, wherever it shows up.
Okay.
Not quite that simple, but that's the best way I could describe it verbally.
I'm going to look for a totally square, rectangular home next time around. Here's a question from Trish. She has a water fountain in her office in the southwest area, but we don't.
In the other systemology considered, the wealth area. Mm-hmm.
So which she wants. So unfortunately, she's not telling us where her doorway is, but she. From the doorway, can you clarify for her where the money area would be?
Yeah, if you're using this system of the Bagua, it's in the back left-hand corner of the room.
Okay, so it doesn't really matter, again.
It doesn't matter if it's southeast.
Okay,
no.
It just matters from where you walk into the office, it's the back left corner of the room. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Here's,
let me just clarify one thing, too. The reason water is used or associated with wealth is not so much because it's water, but because it's movement, okay? So that is the thing, that we want movement. So movement could also be depicted with or symbolized with even sometimes a picture of movement, like somebody, I don't know, skiing or something like that, or a grandfather clock where, you know, the pendulum is moving, or a mobile, that creates movement, or a fan, that creates movement. It's
yeah.
not always the water itself, it's the movement, so that chi, you know, is unstuck. I mean, there's these very traditional little cats, I don't know if you've seen them, where their arm goes up and down. They sell them in Chinatown. It's like, oh, why are those considered good? I mean, they're kind of tacky, or, you know, they could be cute, but they're kind of tacky. And it's the same thing. This arm that moves is just creating chi flow. So, you know, it's considered, you know, potentially
Gosh.
Good.
Yeah, like a clock with a pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of creativity in how you apply these things.
Right. And, you know, very important for me anyway to have the suggestions fit with the taste of my client, fit with the style of my client, fit with the appropriateness. I mean, if I'm working in a law office, I'm not hanging crystals. So it's got to be the right thing, both from the meaning of it and for how it fits in, quote, the real world or the physical world, because otherwise, I, you know, aesthetics are important to me. And,
yes, I'm just
you know.
Hearing that, the designer side of you really speak out on that. Yeah.
yeah, well,
that's
otherwise
good.
It's, you know, just doesn't work.
Yeah, you add that dimension to it in your feng shui practice. Here's an interesting question from Triveni. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right, but it's, let's say you're not well off and you're just a common man, it says, and you live in a tiny place with roommates and you have no control of your environment. Okay, tiny place with roommates. So what do you do in circumstances like that?
Right. Well, you probably have your own bed. That would be a start. You know, again, you could put the bagua right on your own bed. Maybe you could do something there where the foot of the bed is career and benefactors and knowledge and the top is wealth and relationship. And maybe it would just be tiny symbols that you put under the mattress. Again, getting super creative. Also, I said the thing that influences us the most are the things that are closest to us. So the bed is very close to us. So, you know, one thing I might always do is make my bed because I want to protect my personal chi. I mean, that's our greatest asset, right? Our health and our personal chi. So we want to protect it and keep it, so, you know, making the bed, keeping us healthy and strong and, doing that intentionally for protection could be very, very useful. It might also be useful to, you know, start looking at the fact that maybe it just doesn't work to live with certain people. I mean, it doesn't mean that you could afford to live on your own or, you know, just up and move, but, you know, start making changes that are moving in the direction of the kind of support you want to have in your life. And then, you know, just see, as I said, even in the smallest of ways to, you know, start to make some changes based in this understanding. It doesn't have to be, you know, moving mountains or moving house. It just has to be, you know, on your desk, on your person, in your bed to see what perhaps you can do. If, in fact, you're, you know, red is, why red is associated with, you know, feng shui is it's a very protective color. So, you know, sometimes, and it's also based in passion. It's also based in our recognition. You know, perhaps wearing something or having bedding that has red, if that's something we're working on. But maybe somebody has, you know, a serious heart condition. Well, I wouldn't want to promote the fire element because that might be too strong for them. So, again, many ways to look at it, but I think it's really coming from that you have the power to influence something in your environment rather than what you were saying earlier that, you know, it's out there.
it's good to hear that. No matter what your circumstances are, you can make some kind of start toward creating some small area of serenity and balance.
Let's take two
questions, which might be from the same person, and they sound a little quick, and then we'll wrap up with those. So this is from Sandy, and she's a researcher, loves books, has floor-to-ceiling wooden bookcases on two walls at the back of the desk, and she heard that bookcases or floor-to-ceiling bookcases, she said, a book said they were arrows. How can something that gives us joy be hurtful?
Well, unfortunately, that's, again, one of those one size does not fit all. where I see books as possibly problematic is in a bedroom, where the bedroom should be very yin, should be very restful, shouldn't have a huge amount of stimulation, which is why sometimes, reflective surfaces, the TV and mirrors, a lot of mirrors, could be a problem. But again, it's individual. It's not everybody. So a lot of books coming at you, you have a very heavy aspect, even if you love books. But in terms of in your office and they're behind you, you're not looking at them all the time. I don't see that the case at all, unless they're teetering and it almost feels like an avalanche coming, going to fall on your head. But if they're very supportive, like a mountain behind you, I think it could be wonderful, absolutely fantastic. In terms of something called a poison arrow or sha chi, is a sharp edge, like a sharp edge of a wall or a desk, is continually coming at you. That could have a weakening effect, but the books themselves, I can't imagine that is the case. And clearly the books are a love of hers, and I think that is more important. You also have to sometimes follow the chi of the person and not just the rule. And if this is something that's so important, I would never want to take it away from somebody because they get a lot from it. And that's important.
Good point. And then this may be from the same Sandy. In the recognition section of the office is a large window with white metal blinds. She's wondering if she should cover the window maybe in red curtains.
Only if you like them. Otherwise, I would say no. I mean, I wouldn't want to put red curtains. It wouldn't work with my space. And I actually do have a window in that very same area. I have a lamp there as well, and I said, that light brings energy, and it's sort of fiery, a lamp, so that's good. You can use something more symbolic, which might be up above my window. I might have different things that are very inspirational, because recognition is also not about just physical eyes and how we see, but the third eye, and so enlightenment, so maybe there's something up between the window and the wall that would catch your attention and bring your whole energy up. That may work. If there's a table or something under the window, maybe there you would want to have something that was upwardly moving or fiery or a candle or some plaques that you received or recognition or frame a letter that somebody, wrote, that a client wrote that they were very happy with your performance. But if you do like red curtains, that's fantastic, and then they would have that intention. The important thing is you just don't want, again, as I said, the energy to fly out too quickly from the window, so I would have something in front of it to perhaps slow it down, or maybe that would be the kind of area that one would hang a crystal if they like that kind of thing, to help the energy diffuse through the environment. That's my other problems is that with books is they sometimes like put the fear of God in you. I'm like, oh my God, my wealth is going down the toilet. It's like not necessarily,
mm-hmm.
just because your bathroom is in the wealth area.
That was a question we didn't get, but that's a good one. And what I'm hearing you say, just as we sort of move into wrapping up, is that there are a variety of things that can be done in any area, that it's not, there isn't, as you said, there isn't a one-size-fits-all. And it's important to find things that fit the room, fit who we are, feel good overall in the space. I mean, that's really what I'm taking away from.
Yeah, our life circumstance, our business circumstance, our tastes, what else is happening, you know, if there are other people involved in the business or the household or whatever the case is, how much money you have to spend on the situation. You know, yeah, there's a lot of things to consider. And the thing is that if you go deep enough, you can find the right, the appropriate thing to do. But it's getting under it sometimes. You know, sometimes it's not the obvious. So, I'm sorry.
I've heard that a lot tonight in your responses. It's often not the obvious, which is, you know, really speaks to the value of, you know, working with someone like you who gave me a lot of ideas for a very small home office in Denver and, you know, that weren't obvious. So I want to just tell you all again how to contact Judith. And, Judith, thank you so much. This was really, you really opened my perspective about how I think about my living space, listening to you talk about all this today. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and thank you, everybody else, for listening. You know, it's a bit of a challenge to be as specific and articulate as I would like when I'm sort of sitting here by myself and not seeing you, but I really appreciate you listening. It's been very enjoyable. Thank you, Andrea.
Oh, you're so welcome. So if you're looking to contact Judith, maybe get one of her one-hour consultations or the whole six-hour package, it's judith@sacredcurrents.com. And we'll be sending that information out with the MP3. So thank you again, Judith. And this is Andrea Conway of SuccessfulSelfEmployment.com. And I wish you all a wonderful evening.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.